appreciate that. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew, and let's go to chapter number 15 in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 30 this morning. And we'll get started here in just a second. I want to preach a message about developing our faith. And this passage has been on my heart. I've been studying it and praying over it. And there's many things about this passage. For a long time, I just didn't understand, really. I just kind of struggled with it a little bit. And I believe the Lord has shown me a few things. I want to share that with you today. I pray it'll be a help to you. And I'm having a little trouble seeing, actually. There's a kind of a, I don't know, it's like a bright light or something. It's blinding me. I think it's Miss Danielle's ring there. And show us that ring, Miss Danielle. Her and Zach got engaged. So let's give them a round of applause there. And I was wondering what that was. It was that bling back there, you know. But okay, I'm good. Miss Doris, she moved her head, so now I'm good. So she's kind of, but congratulations, you guys. We're real happy for you. And you know, we've been talking all month about this is our missions month, and talking about faith promise, and that's what faith promise missions is. It is an act of faith, and faith is something that you have to develop. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, I love faith promise. God's used that in my life because it does help you develop your faith, and especially with Americans. If Americans can learn to be faithful with their finances, a lot of things will follow that. Because the Bible says where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And I want you to have a heart, okay? I want you to develop a heart for God. I want you to have a heart for souls. I want you to have a heart for missions. Amen. And you'll never have that heart until your treasure's in the right place. Amen. Americans are consumed with materialism. Americans are consumed with stuff. Our money, our stuff, it controls us. And you got to surrender that to God. God gives you everything you have. He gives it all to you. Without Him giving you the breath that you breathe, you have no ability to make any of the money that you make. God gives it all to you. And He only wants 10%. That's what He says. That's an obedience. If you don't give that, we're robbing Him. But then we talk about faith promise. And that's not your 10%. That's a free will offering. That's what we taught. As Paul taught the church in Macedonia, he said, as a man purposed in his heart, so let him give. God loveth the cheerful giver. And when you give, that's grace giving. Amen. That's faith. That's giving by faith. And and a lot of people, they think that's just crazy. That's crazy. In America, the more money we make, the more money we spend. Most of us have already, we've already spent, you know, a lot of you are going to get a stimulus check in a couple weeks. Most of us already know exactly what we're going to do with that. It's already spent. Already spent. You know, I'm just telling you, just trust God. Trust God with your finances. Be faithful. You're going to be faithful to give to missions. God will bless that in your life. And when you learn to be faithful in that, you'll learn to develop your faith. And we're going to talk about a lady here that had a great faith. And it's a Gentile woman. And she shows the one thing that without it, you cannot please God. You cannot please the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For him that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You're going to see a woman that comes after Christ and is diligent about it and persistent about it, and Christ rewards her faith. And, you know, the Bible also says that whatsoever you do, if you don't do it in faith, it's a sin. Everything you do needs to be done by faith. Your talents, your abilities, everything that God give you, when you do things for God, you need to do it by faith. That means you need to do it not in your own power, but in dependence upon Him and at His leading, and living by faith and doing things according, not to your own whatever you think you should do, but doing according to His word and trusting Him and taking Him at His word. That is living by faith. And this lady, she not only had faith, but in our passage we'll see here that she had great faith. And let's read here in verse number 21. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. The Bible says that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." And he answered and said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered her and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And then she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed thence and went nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Let's be seated, and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to preach through this passage. God, I pray you'll help me now. God, I pray you'll help me to share exactly what you want shared. And Lord, I pray that you'll just magnify thy word. I pray that you'll burn truth in our heart today, and help us to develop our faith, that we can have faith like this woman. Is great, great is her faith. And all these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's only two people in the Bible that Jesus, he described their faith as being great. One is this woman. The other one was the centurion, the Roman centurion. And it's interesting, both of them were Gentiles. Jesus, he spent the majority of his ministry with the Jewish people. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, he says he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. I'm glad for that, because of that, you and I now have the gospel. Most are Gentiles. And but Jesus, he'll go to this place where this Gentile woman is, and we'll see why later. And the woman hears of his coming, and she goes to him, and she pleads with him for a miracle for her daughter. And so let's examine. We're gonna unpack the story here. We're gonna unpack it. And then we're going to make a few applications. So we're going to see several movements. And there's many different ways you can look at this passage. There's many different applications. There's many different lessons that we can learn here. And then we're going to try to address some of the hard questions. Some of the hard questions I asked myself for a long time, but I didn't quite understand about what specifically concerning to Jesus' response to this woman. And so let's look at the background, the background of the story. And the first thing I want you to see in the context of the passage, the disciples are with Jesus, and they're exhausted, okay? They've been doing ministry. If you read the previous, there's been lots of things going on. They're not only exhausted with ministry, they're threatened. John the Baptist has been martyred. He had his head cut off. Herod is in this area. Herod is not happy with Jesus. There's a little bit of threat upon his life. The Pharisees have just come up from Jerusalem and are harassing him, and he's being kind of threatened. He's looking for a place of rest. If you look at the parallel passages in Mark chapter 7, in verse number 24, and it says, "And thence he arose, and he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it." So he's basically going to a retreat. He just wants to hide. He wants to rest a little while. You ever feel like that? I just need to get away for a while. I just need to rest. And as soon as he rests, he gets in the house. Nobody knows it. He hears a, "Hey, I know you guys are probably busy, but can you just, I need this one thing." You ever had that? And that was Jesus. That was his ministry. And so he's threatened. And then we see the second thing about this background. We see the with a woman, and she's not just a woman, but she's her background. And in Mark it says she's a Grecian. It says Canaanite in this passage. Over in Mark it also talks about she's a Syrophoenician. And not only that, she's not a monther, but she's a mother. And that's my bad spelling there. So the area of Tyre and Sidon, this was on the coast of the Mediterranean. This would have, in ancient times, would have been the land of Canaan. These would have been Canaanites. These are bitter, bitter enemies of Israel. These are wicked pagan people. And, of course, the Phoenicians were descendants of, if you study history, they were descendants of the Canaanites, and they inhabited this area. And this would also have been an area of Syria. So the Phoenicians were of Syria, so Syro-Phoenician. A few years earlier, what happened to who dominated the world with his empire? Alexander the Great, okay? The Grecian Empire was massive, and these would have been a Grecian area. So she was also, in Mark, called a Greek. She may have spoke Greek. These would have been like Grecian cities here, but Syro-Phoenician. And not only that, but she was a mother. She was a mother. And all mothers have things in common. And she had a daughter that had a problem. So let's look at her daughter. The daughter was under the control of the Bible says in Mark it was an unclean spirit. If we look in our text here today, we'll see that it says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And so that word vexed means that she was controlled. She was possessed. And so she was bound. She was controlled. And the daughter in this passage, I mean, we're thinking about missions and going to people and reaching people. And so this woman was a woman that the Jews really wouldn't want to have anything to do with, okay? That's what missions is about, not only reaching your Jerusalem and your Judea, but going to the uttermost, crossing over those cross-cultural, socioeconomic boundaries, maybe people that are a lot different than you, and going and trying to connect with them and reach them. And so, but the daughter is unconcerned. The mother is concerned. The word young here is translated as little. This was, I don't know how old the girl was, but to the mom, it doesn't matter how old you are. To your mom, you're just a little boy. You're just a little girl. You always will be. And that's the way it was with this mom. And the mother, the child was suffering greatly, and she wanted to go to Jesus. And I think that's good of this mother. Parents, we need God's help with our children. Amen. The best thing you'll ever do to your children is bring them to Jesus. Jesus can help them, and that's what this mother was doing. And so you see the disciples, they're really kind of annoyed. They're embarrassed by her. The Bible says in Mark that she not only came to Jesus, but she threw herself at his feet. She's causing quite the scene, the uproar. They're just wanting to get away and rest, remember? And she's a Gentile. They don't really think a whole lot of her anyway, because her people don't like them and they don't like her. You know, it's just, let's just leave it at that and let's just carry on. And it says, why don't you just send her away? And then you've got the Savior. You've got Jesus in this story. And his response is very, very odd. Okay, you would think he would have he didn't respond the way he responded. I think we'd all just be kind of scratching our heads, saying, you know, she just asked for your help and you just ignored her. So he ignores her. He basically tells her that, you know, you're not part of the purpose of my ministry right now. And then he insults her and calls her a very demeaning name. Why did Jesus do that? Why? And then we have a miracle. And so we have the miracle, not only this miracle, but as we read the last couple of verses, there's several miracles that follow. And so when we think about miracles, there's a problem that necessitated a miracle. And I want you to think about, you know, why was this miracle needed? And when you look at the miracles in the Bible, several miracles in the Bible have to do with Jesus dealing with demon possession. And there's basically a couple reasons we see that Jesus performs miracles. One reason is he does it because it fits his will. It's his will to do a miracle. Miracles, they validated who Jesus said he was. He was the Son of God. He was deity. He was fully man, but fully God. And these miracles, they validated who he said he was. It was just not really no faith involved, but he just is part of his will. He willed it to be so. The second reason you'll see him perform miracles, he works a miracle because of someone's faith. And so this woman didn't necessarily fit into any plans at the current time, except to demonstrate her faith, as we shall see here. And so as we look in this passage, we're going to see the pleading of the miracle. And she was very, very passionate. She was very passionate. She wanted her daughter to have relief. You can understand the love of a mother. You see the great lengths she goes to get her daughter help. She had an overwhelming need. She demonstrates unbelievable courage. She has a great faith. She goes through just unbelievable hurdles and circumstances, and she never wavers in her faith
to call out to Christ for the source of help. So how did she plead? Well, she pleaded wisely. She pleaded courageously. There's different things as you look through here on how she pled, and I see this with mothers all the time. And when we go out to our clinics all over the world, these moms they'll bundle up their children, and some of their kids have problems that you just can't fix. There's maybe some, I've seen lots of mothers bring in babies with cerebral palsy. And, man, they'll bundle up those kids, and they've already been told, there's nothing you can do, but there's a group of Americans in, and they'll bundle them up, and they'll get up the wee early in the morning, and they'll bundle those kids up. And I've seen them bring those kids in, and they'll have little plastic bags for diapers around those kids. And the moms are just proud to tear that kid, do everything for it, and stand there and wait all day. And they'll get up to you, and they'll come, and they'll just look at you, and they'll just look for, they're looking for a hope, a glimmer of hope. Is there something that can be done for my child? And that's a mom, okay? That's the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother will do, they'll do anything for their children. And that's what we see here. This woman, she was wise. She came to Christ. She said, "Had mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." And she knew that this was the only hope for her child. She brought him to Jesus. That was the best thing she could do, was bring the baby to Jesus. And she understood that she did not deserve any help from him. She did not claim any merit or any accomplishment or present anything that she could bring the table for Christ. But she said, "Have mercy upon me." And she was very courageous, and she was a Gentile. She risked a lot to go to the Jews to seek for help. Remember her background. They hated the Jews. They hated the Jews. The Jews hated them. They treated each other horribly. There had been some unbelievable warfare. Read the book of Joshua and how, this complete annihilation. And so there was some bad blood here, and she went and she risked everything, and she went to Christ, and she threw herself. Mark says she besought him. She knew Christ could fix her problem. And Mark 7 says she fell at his feet. She went into the house and nobody would know it, but she was going to find him no matter what. She was going to seek him out. So she went. Christ goes to Tyre and Sidon for rest. Him and his disciples, they're wanting some peace and quiet. But this got out in Tyre that, hey, Christ is here. And so she pleads persistently. And she seeks after Christ with urgency. And she's at his feet. She lays at his feet. And the word says, she came with haste. She came immediately. She came with haste. And she was going to take advantage of this opportunity that she had. She didn't have many opportunities. She didn't have many opportunities, but she was going to take advantage of the opportunity that was given. Are you taking advantage of your opportunities for God to work in your life? You know, there's many reasons this woman had to quit, not even try. She pleaded with God. She pleaded. She was very persistent. She was going to make the most of this opportunity. And you know, if God blessed you with the same effort that you pursued him this past week, what would that look like in your life? You know what we do with God? We don't pursue after him. We don't pursue with faith like this woman did. No, we do. When we have a problem, we go and we shake our finger at God. Say, "God, I'm right here. I got a big problem. Don't you see me, God? Why aren't you doing something? What'd you put me in this situation?" And we shake our finger at God, and you know, God's sitting up there and he's saying, "Hey, I'm right here. I've been here the whole time. I'm glad you're finally calling out to me. But, you know, yes, I would. I would love to spend time with you. I would love to have a sweet fellowship with you. I would love to bless your life." God is pleased by our faith when we pursue after him. And this lady was, she was persistent. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to pray without ceasing. Well, prayer is, it's an expression of faith. When you pray without ceasing, God will work in your life. And so she says, "Lord, help." And that's a good thing to say unto the Lord. Sometimes that's the only thing you can say. You get a problem in your life and you just cry out to God, say, "Lord, help." And she pleaded humbly. And we see here that, after Jesus, he states his
He basically ignores her, and then he states his mission is really more to the Jewish people, and she does not let that stop her. He refers to her as a dog, and that's the way Jews looked at Gentiles. That's the way Gentiles looked at Jews. That's a very, in that culture of the day, that was a very demeaning term to call somebody a dog. And Jesus says, he refers to her as a dog, but she did not let that stop her. She was very humble, and she agreed with Jesus about everything that was said, yet she still worshiped Christ. And, we need to understand, when we come to God, people come to God and they don't understand who God is. They come to God and they think they're God. They think it's just me and God. We're buddies. We're pals. No, you're not. God is God and you are not. Now, God wants to be your friend, but he can only be your friend through Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ. And he comes by faith. By faith, you have to approach God. You have to come to God humbly. God is God, and what is man that we are mindful of him? God, he created it all. You think about the universe and the scope of it, and think, we have such an inclusive, it's such a self-centered mentality that we are born with in our flesh, and we think the universe revolves around us, and it does not. We're created by God. We're created for his glory. We're a part of his plan. But God will not force that upon you. He's a God of love, and he allows you to choose. He allows you to have a free will. But she goes to him humbly, and she says, I don't deserve anything. I know I'm just a Gentile dog. I don't deserve anything you got to give. I can't bring anything to you, but Lord, please help me. And she continued to persist after him. And it was just amazing. And so let's look at the response. the first thing, she went to Christ, and he answers her not a word. And, we're thinking, Jesus is my only hope that my daughter has. She's risking everything because she's a Gentile coming to a Jew. She comes, she pours her heart out, and Jesus ignores her. Her daughter's oblivious to this. The disciples are offended. They say, send her away. Jesus, then he refers to her as a Gentile dog. She's just persistent. He says, even the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. And that's when Jesus will say, hey, great is thy faith. And, we often conclude that faith is great after a request is answered. But a lot of people, they never, like Abraham. Abraham, he went to a land that God promised him, and he went by faith. You realize Abraham never inherited that land in his life. He went by faith. He never inherited the promise in this lifetime. There's a lot of people that never. We look at guys like George Mueller, and George Mueller took on all the orphans, and he didn't have money to feed the orphans. He didn't have the resources. And we read this autobiography of George Mueller and how he prayed in the money, and the food just showed up at his door in a miraculous way every morning. And we look at it after the fact, and we say, that man had great faith. But until that happens, we look at that man as a fool, don't we? God isn't pleased necessarily with your product. He's pleased by your faith. He's not pleased by your money or your accomplishments. He's pleased by your faith. And this lady had great, great faith. And this lady, she did not have the answers yet. There was nobody encouraging her. There's just no hint that any answers are coming, yet she persists. And God says, hey, you have great faith. The answer is Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. That's what we need to keep on doing and keep on going, and don't give in. Don't quit and live in faith regardless if you get the answers or not, and just keep on looking to Jesus because he is the answer. Regardless if you feel like, Jesus is raining favor on me or not, you keep looking to Christ. Keep looking to him. God, he'll be pleased by that. She asked in verse 22. She asked in verse 25. She asked in verse 27. She goes back and back and back. And some people go to God week after week and day after day. Some people go month after month. Some people go to God for years and years and decades and decades, and yet they still don't have an answer.
keep on going to God. Don't ever stop. Don't ever get tired. You know, she shows up and the disciples are saying, hey, go away. The daughter is oblivious. And that's the way it is in missions. The daughter, people are bound. They're controlled by their sin. They're bound. A lot of people are oblivious to the problem. You know, Brother Brunner, you go to Australia, and you understand this. When you get off that plane, there's going to be no welcome party for you. No one's going to welcome you to hear your message. The people in Australia there's hardly anybody even associated. They don't have any type of religion at all. It's becoming like Europe, and there's millions of people in Australia. They're just going through life, and they're marching their way straight to a devil's hell, and they don't even realize they have a problem. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm glad this man has surrendered to the call. Maybe we can help him go and get the message to these people in Australia. But they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Everywhere you go, you bring a message to people. They really don't care. They don't want to hear, but you bring it to them anyway, because that's what we're supposed to do. And we do it, and we'll see how. But so we see here again, let's look at the response. Number one, Jesus ignored her. He ignored her. She asked in verse 23, and he answered her not. That's not the response that was anticipated. So this is where I struggle, Brother Glenn. Like, why did he do this? You know, Sean, I don't know. I'm just like, why in the world would Jesus be this way to this woman? He was not that way with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. He was a lot nicer to her. But we're gonna try to unpack this here. So he ignores her, and you know, everybody is scratching their head and, you know, saying, "Hey, Lord, this woman's desperate here, and can you just do what you do? You know, Lord, we've seen you do this before. Can you just do what you do, and then we can carry on with our little vacation?" But Jesus just ignores her. He answers her not a word. Now he's eventually going to answer. He's eventually going to hear, and he's going to help her daughter. But he's testing her faith. He's testing her faith. Someone once said, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And God will often test your faith. He will develop your faith. That's what the girls were singing about. When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He will test your faith. He will refine you. He will make you the product he wants you to be. And this was not only to test her faith, but it was also to teach his disciples. And in verse number 23, the disciples, they get involved. They say, hey, get her out of here. And, you know, we're just trying to rest. And the second thing he says that this is really, he's like saying, you know, you're not part of my ministry purpose. Wow. Talk about, you know, just you know, putting a stake in someone's heart. You're not part of my ministry purpose. I'm here to reach the Jews. I'm here to the lost house, the lost sheep of Israel. I mean, this is very, very interesting. In verse number 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She persisted. She said, I realize that maybe I'm a Gentile and those are your chosen people, but I still think you can help me. Lord, help me. So then what happens? And the third response is in verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, what's he mean by that? The children's bread, who were the children? The children of Israel. Those were the chosen people. Those were like his kids. He said, I'm here to help them. He went to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. You know, he goes, I'm coming here for my people. I'm not going to take what I'm here to give them. It's like taking their bread and casting it to the dogs. And so the dogs, again, that's a little bit of a throw on her, because she's a Gentile and the Jews considered them dogs. And you know, and you read this and you're just like, wow, wow, why in the world? And again, she is not fazed. She responds in an unbelievable way, and she says, truth, Lord, says, you're right. I know I don't deserve anything. I know I'm not Jewish. I know that. But I need some healing for my daughter. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve all the bread. I don't deserve the best that you're going to give your people. But, man, even dogs can benefit from crumbs from the master's table. Jesus, if I could just get a little bit of you, That's all I need is just a little bit. If I could just touch the hem of your garment, it's going to be okay. And she was not deterred. And that is faith. That's amazing. That's the kind of faith that we need. God will test my faith, and I'll come through as gold. And I pray that I will follow God. I was talking to Pastor Tyler about that. We're talking about just when you're preaching, preach in season and out of season. Instant in season, out of season. Sometimes things are going great in the ministry, and that's when it's in season. That's when it's fun to preach, brother, when everybody's saying amen, and there's just a great spirit. But it's not always like that. Sometimes it's out of season. But we keep on doing what we do. Not because of results, but because of faith. Because it's right. And it's faith. And you keep on going. And then, you know, he's going to perform a miracle at this point. He's saying, hey, great is thy faith. I want the world to know that great is thy faith. And I believe that's why he delayed. He's demonstrating. He's teaching this woman. He's developing her faith. And he says, be it unto thee. Be it unto thee. That reminds me of another young lady in Luke chapter 1. Remember Mary? She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And her cousin said, hey, blessed, you know, the Lord hath revealed this unto thee. There shall be a performance of those things which the Lord hath told thee. There was a performance in their life. God did a miracle because she just submitted to the plan of God. She had faith in God, even though it looked like a raw deal on the Virgin Mary. She submitted to the plan of God, and there was performance in her life. Most people will never see a performance of God in their life because they do not have this kind of faith. What's your faith like today? We just use it as a word. We use it as a word. It's just we know it's the right thing to say, so we say it. I tell you what, your faith is manifested in your actions. Your faith is what do you depend on for things? And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But he compliments her. And, you know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I want you to see here, we're going to make a couple applications. And number one, she kept her faith. She kept her faith when there was no response. she kept her faith. There seemed to be no answer. Sometimes you're going to cry out to God about a need, and you're not going to get an immediate answer. You know what most people do? They say, you know, I prayed about it, and God didn't do anything, so I'm done with God. She didn't do that, and God was pleased with that. You keep on looking to God. She kept her faith when she felt like she was not the priority, all right? Jesus says, you know, in my ministry right now, I'm really come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what I'm after. He said, you're not my priority right now. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, man, I'm trying to serve the Lord right now, okay? But in my little corner, nothing's happening. But brother so-and-so over there, it's like they're just, I mean, it's like a revival breaking out. God, why is it not happening for me right now, okay? And a lot of people get frustrated with that, and they quit on God, and they walk out. But this lady, she kept her faith when she felt like she was not a priority. She kept her faith when life had her at a disadvantage. I mean, look, put in the situation she was in, she had just put herself in a disadvantaged place. She went away from her people. She went to a people. She was in the middle of people where she was outnumbered. She was around Jewish people that did not like her. They did not like her. She really did not like them. Her people didn't like their people. You ever felt like, man, nothing's really working for me right now. I am disadvantaged. Why am everything against me right now? But she kept her faith, and God was pleased with her faith. You're going to have times in your life where everything doesn't go your way. All right? And don't you give up on God. God is still on the throne. God is still very much in control. God is very much, he understands your situation. And he will bring out his will in his time because he is God. And then she kept her faith when she realized she deserved nothing. She says, yeah, I don't deserve anything. You know, God is God. Jesus left the thrones of heaven and humbled himself and became of man. He performed all these miracles. He did not have to allow anything to happen to him. He did not have to allow one ounce of pain to inflict his body. He could have called 10,000 angels. He demonstrated that in his life. The miracles and the historical facts of Christ's life and ministry.
is one of the great apologetic defenses of the Bible. It proves the deity and the validity of the Word of God. In Christ, He allowed Himself, He gave His life. He didn't have to do any of that. He was God. He never felt sin. He knew no sin. And He took upon the sins of the whole world, and He allowed Himself to be crucified. No man took His life. He gave it Himself. He showed an act of love. He showed the greatest act of love that's ever been shown. And He died for she didn't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Yeah, that's God's gift. That's God's gift. Oh, man. That's great. We see here that, now why did Jesus do this? Again, He does this to develop her faith. He does this to set an example for His disciples. Okay, in our society, the way we look at things, Jesus' response to this woman would have been antisocial. It would have been antagonistic. It would have been racist. It would have been downright rude. All right? If somebody got a sound clip of that, it would have went viral. It would have been on CNN. It would have been a media nightmare. All right? And he was nicer to the woman at the well. But Jesus was about to enter a relationship with this woman, and He was going to do something for her. He was going to do a miracle for her, and she needed to express a commitment to Him. You know, it appears that Jesus was unable to associate with other people. In our inclusive society, we would think, well, Jesus, in this situation, he's a racist. He's unloving. He's intolerant. You know, but is Jesus racist? Is he intolerant? Is he detrimental to social order? No. Remember, He gave His life for the entire world. He didn't have to do that. He died so they could live. Jesus, but Jesus had to bring her to an understanding. He had to develop her faith. He was getting ready to work a major miracle in her life, but he needed her to see that, hey, it's all about Christ. You know, this is true with just relationships. One of the greatest damages in human transactions in our relationship is a lack of great understanding of each role and then just having a premature agreement. And this is really, when you think about this in missions, when you're soul winning, when you're trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ, you're going to come across as intolerant. You're going to come across as just really narrow-minded. Because you really think about it. You go up to somebody and you say, you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you're on your way to hell. And I realize that you've got your religion. You got these things that maybe you believed in and your family for generations believed in, but that's not enough. If you do that, if you trust in that, you're going to go to hell. Wow. Wow, really? You just said that to me? What gives you the right to say that to me? Well, it's on the authority of the Word of God. That's the authority that we say that under, folks. And you tell people that, all right? But then, and when you do that, you do. You seem inclusive and tolerant, but then you show the common ground. You got to tell the bad news and you tell the good news. You show the common ground. You say, you know what? I'm in the same boat you are. I'm a sinner too, and I deserve hell. But you know what? God loves you, and God loves me, and God has a plan. He has a way of salvation. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And God says, God told me to tell you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and does not have to go to a place called hell. And their sins can be paid for. And an almighty holy God can accept us into His family and into His presence and into heaven for eternity because our sins are taken care of by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's what we do. And so once you tell somebody that, then it brings you to a decision. Okay? What's the decision? A person either accepts that or they reject that. And if someone rejects that, there's nothing you can do. Their blood's not on your hands.
and you release them, and you know if they don't change their mind, you know where they're going to go. But you did what you were supposed to do, and you told them, and you took them the message. And Jesus, he is going to act in her life, but he demonstrates to her that her faith is a must, and then she receives this miracle. Now, this is also an example to her disciples, because what's going to happen to the disciples in a very, very short time? All right? Jesus is going to die on the cross. He's going to raise from the dead. Then he's going to ascend unto heaven. And then what's going to happen? Persecution is going to come. And a lot of them, and a lot of their family members, and their friends, and their church members that they sat next to on Sunday are going to be tied up in animal skins and thrown to wild dogs. And they're going to be put upon, impaled on tortures in the streets of Rome, and oil on their body and lit. But the Christianity in the first century spread like wildfire. That's another great apologetic defense of the God, that people did not recant their faith. What was it? Why would people do that? Why would they put themselves? Why would they go to their death for the cause of Christ? Because they saw. They knew a Lord. They knew their Redeemer lived. They knew it was a cause worth dying for. This was an example. They were going to realize that, hey, you know what? In your ministry, sometimes you're gonna things aren't gonna go well, and you're gonna pray to me, and there's gonna seem like there's no response. But disciples, you keep the faith like this woman. Okay, you're gonna feel in the ministry, you're gonna feel like you're neglected, and nobody really cares about you, and you're just forgotten. But no, no. Be like this woman, keep the faith. You're going to feel that you're at a great disadvantage in the ministry and in your life, because things aren't just, you know, apples just aren't rolling your way. But you keep the faith, and you have a great faith like this woman. It's an example for this woman, and you don't deserve anything. It's a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, what's the application here today? You follow God. Follow God by faith. You follow Him when you're tired. Sometimes you just get tired and you just get wore out, and you're just like, man, I can't do this anymore. You just keep on. Don't you stop. Don't stop. You know, a lot of people, they do. They just, if they would have quit right here, they wouldn't have done this. They would have just said, I'm done. And then what happens after this? There's some of the greatest miracles that happen. There's another feeding of the 4,000. Many people are healed. It's just you follow God when you feel threatened. You know, I know that we're our society is turning into a hostile society towards Christianity and what we believe. I understand that. You know what? I get kind of tired of this mentality that we're just going to hold on to the end of the rope and wait for the rapture. No, we got to keep on. We got to press on. This is the best time. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the best time to get involved in missions. This is the best time to go to the mission field. Say, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? Why don't you just charge hell with a squirt gun? I tell you what, I'm going to do better than that. I will charge hell with the great commission of an almighty God. That no government or authority will ever overthrow this. Based upon the authority of God's word, I will charge the gates of hell. And the Bible says that the grass withered and the flower faded, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. I will charge hell under the commission of the local church. And what does the Bible say of the local church? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So realize what your standing is. What's your object of faith in? My faith's not in Washington. My faith is not in political policy. Okay, I vote. I do. And there's nothing wrong with being involved in that. But my faith's not in that. It's my faith in this. And this is where our faith's at. When you feel threatened, you keep on. You keep following God by faith. When you feel ignored, because this lady was ignored. Sometimes in your life, you feel like, man, I'm doing what's right here, and I'm not getting nothing. You follow God by faith. When you feel neglected,
When you feel like you are disadvantaged, you continue to follow God by faith and you pursue Him. You pray without ceasing and you pursue God with passion. But then don't lose your passion. When you lose your passion, you just don't have it. People can sense it. They can sense it if you really believe what you're talking about or not. And they'll tell it by the way you live. And have that passion and that compassion. And they're having compassion. Some make a difference, and you'll make a difference in this world if you will live your life by faith. You will make a difference in this world if you will please God by faith and have. And so, you know, it really brings us to the question. You know, we talk about, is God pleased with your faith? We get frustrated, and this is what happens. A lot of times we walk out on God right at the edge of God's best for our life. I mean, right around the corner here, there's some major things getting ready to happen. God's got your best interest in mind, and God will not lie. The best is yet to come. My question here, what are you trusting in today? What are you trusting in for your security? You know, a lot of times we trust in our finances, we trust in our stuff or our security. That just realize that all comes from God. You be obedient with that, with God. Whatever God leads you to do, and God gives very clear instructions about it, follow God with that. Honor God with that. Honor God with that. You know, I don't need your money. Caleb doesn't need your money. I could go out and make a lot of money. I talked to this man last night, and him and his family, they're very sharp people. Her dad's a nuclear physicist. He's got incredible people skills. Those guys can be very successful. They're following God by faith. They need our help. And this is how God works. This is His plan for running. This is His plan for things. And you trust God with these things. And what are you trusting for your security? What do you trust for your happiness? A lot of people, if things don't line up a certain way, then they're just, man, it's just their day shot. What do you trust for your happiness? Jesus gives us a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. There's things I like to do, but man, if I don't get to do it, it's all right. Jesus gives me my joy. There's certain things that you have to have that just got to be this way. You know, this has got to be this way. This has got to, or I'm just not going to be happy. Don't depend on those things. Faith. Faith. What are you trusting for your future? This lady, man, she went all in. She went all in. She just threw out caution to the wind. She went through some unbelievable hurdles. She went through being ignored. She went through being neglected. She went through being insulted. She went through danger. She didn't care because she knew Christ was, He was the only hope. He was the future. He was the future. Jesus, He is, if you don't have Christ, if you've never been born again, please yield to God. God loves you. God loves you, and He wants you to accept His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the whole message of the Bible. The most copied book in history, okay? You know how many people have tried to destroy this book? And it's still here. It's preserved Word of God. Amen. It's a miracle that I hold it in my hand. The blessed old book. And the central theme is that Jesus died for you. And Jesus died for me. And that's a story that never grows old. That's this greatest message that everybody needs to hear. Every tribe and tongue and nation and kindred. And that's the message that He's given His life to tell. And that's the message that He's given His life to tell. And I've given my life to tell. Where's your faith? That's your future. Is in Christ alone. Christ alone. We see here, I'm grateful for this story now. I'm grateful for it. Because I mean, I tell you why, because our faith can be so fickle. But when I look at this, I look at what this lady went through. Man, I look at my faith sometimes and I'm found wanting. I tell you what, I'm convicted today. Convicted. I need to place my faith in the right place. Maybe you need to do the same. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. What are you trusting for your future? If you died today, where would you be for eternity? Eternity is a long, long time. Eternity is too long to be wrong. What are you trusting for your future? Say, Pastor Daniel, honestly, I've never put my faith in Christ. Lord's dealing with me about that right now. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Anybody here today, say, I'm just not 100% sure where I would go for eternity. Would you pray for me? Any hands? See that hand. Amen. Anybody else? We'll have a mobile invitation. You can come down. We can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. What about it, Christian? Where's your faith? God took inventory of your week last week. What'd he say about you? Great is this person's faith. I tell you, we need to get right with God, don't we? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the example of this woman here in the Bible. We thank you for Jesus in his great wisdom on how he handled this to teach us all a valuable lesson. God, help us to have a great faith. Pray there'd be somebody here today that's not saved. Pray today would be the day of salvation. Pray there are many, many here. God, I pray you'll do a work in our church. You do a work in our hearts. I pray you'll have your will and your way in this invitation time. All these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The Lord spoke to you today. I encourage you to come. The altar is open. Great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. God's not impressed. Anything you have to offer, not impressed with your standards, with your knowledge, your intellect, your accomplishments, your money. He's impressed with your faith. He's pleased with your faith. He's pleased with your faith. Pursue after him. Pursue after him. Regardless of your circumstances, he's still very much in control. He knows what's best for your life. If you've never given your life to Christ today would be a great day to do that. Today would be a great day to get saved. Call upon him. He'll answer you. Today. Many are praying. The altar's still open. Let's sing that together. Seek ye first.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. You can be seated. I appreciate your good attention today. Really great, great liberty here in this place. Great liberty. And Spirit of the Lord was with us today. God, help us to have a great faith. Help us. Help us not get caught up in our culture, in the materialism. And there's so many distractions. So many. Keep your focus. Keep your faith. Have a great faith. Pursue after God with your life. Give your life to Him. Follow Him. Follow Him wholly. They that follow Him wholly find Him wholly true. This song is very, very much true. Anybody got a word on their heart today? I look back at some times in my life. I'm so ashamed. So ashamed. And I can't change that, but I can change today, and I can do something about tomorrow, and you can too. You can too. Let's follow Him with faith. Anybody else today? All right, all hearts and minds clear.